cloud covered the tent of meeting. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. But Moses did not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon him. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud moved from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they would not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, and set all the houses of Israel during all their travels. We hear it just like Christmas time, and Jesus is a hangout. Posters and bumper stickers and different advertisements and Christian bookstores and so forth that tells us what an angel means. I mean, what an angel means? God with us. And as we've been going through the book of Exodus, I've been reading through different scholars over the book of Exodus and the books from commentaries that have been looking at and start to explain more of what it means. And over these commentaries that I've been looking at, he has been driving at, which we're going to be up in the next course. He has been driving at all through the book of Exodus, and the deep points of the book of Exodus, that he's been in his presence with his people. And I don't know if that's the point, I'm saying something a little bit different, but certainly that's the main theme for the book of Exodus. How is it that God comes to be present with his people, and what is the significance of that? What does that mean for the people of God? Certainly, certainly it is the book of Exodus, the main point here at the end is that God is with his people. But this is a huge thing in the scripture. We start out with that thing, don't we? The Garden of Eden. God is with us, his people. The people he's created, Adam and Eve. And he walks in the garden. He is through. The big thing, the big thing that covers the consequences of the importance of sin is the thing it casts out from the presence of God. It's really important, isn't it? It's not the particular study of eating food on us, but the huge one of the time of the law. What we feel is that they are the same people who are surrounded in sin. There are cherubim at the gate of this garden. After they are tossed out, they guard the gate so that they cannot come there again and experience his kind, loving presence in the way they want to sin. So when it comes to the book of Exodus, and we see God constituting a people and a nation of the sons of Abraham, specifically of Jacob or Israel. But the big deal here, the word big, is that God is, in a sense, bringing Eden back. He's bringing his people back to a place where he is present among them. Adam and Eve. And the promise has as well the tabernacle, the heirs of the people. The proper plan is seen as in the book of the scripture, the way it speaks to the land of the new Eden. It's a fruitful place. So it is flowing with milk and honey. A fortuitous place. God is there in the promised land with them in the tabernacle. Indeed, it joins us on the place where we are led to do so. You don't have to eat this month in 4-2. But our first one is here. In the Old Testament, under Moses, under Moses' system, God was present from the tabernacle. That's your first line there, the tabernacle. In the Old Testament, God was present with his people. This is the tabernacle. This is the tabernacle. This is the tabernacle. This is the tabernacle. So many things should have been much as human beings living in the presence of God. It's certainly seen very visible way as God's people see in a visual way living at the contemporary villages that God is present with them. How do you not show them and remind them each day that he was then present with them? It was the best pillar, wasn't it, that we see in this passage. A pillar of cloud by day, a pillar of fire by day. This thing had to be very conspicuous. It got people in order to camp around the tabernacle. There were 12 tribes and 4 tribes on each side, in each of the 4 sides, and the tabernacle was in the center of the event around the tabernacle, around the central people protecting the tabernacle and God's presence. But this pillar of fire by night, this pillar of cloud by day, was over the tabernacle, the mountain upon it, and it was a constant reminder to God's people that God was with them. Jesus is this tabernacle. He is this temple. He is the presence of the Holy Spirit on earth. We see this in Jesus' baptism, don't we? John baptized Jesus, and what happened? The dove descended from heaven and rested upon Jesus' shoulder. And it was identified in Scripture for us as the Holy Spirit coming as the mission, Jesus, as king of the prophet, and prophets and priests are anointed by God's Spirit for their special act of service. And so Jesus is here as the tabernacle. 2 weeks ago we talked about Jesus is the tabernacle. And all of the things of the tabernacle, the altars and the tables and the garments that the priests wore and the times that the priests did were all things that show us in advance what Jesus would be and do for us as people. Jesus is the tabernacle. He is the temple. That's why he stands in the temple and argues with the Pharisees on the eve of his crucifixion. Destroy this temple, Jesus says, and I will rebuild it in 3 days. He says, I am the one upon whom the Holy Spirit is. back to his original life. I remember this comes clear in the Gospel of that. It's one of my favorite movies. I was wondering, he was one day, and I'm going to over and over again, doesn't he? And so he gets surprised, and he goes through all these phases of what he's doing. So I'm talking, he's got to put a lot of that together, and he does that in all these different ways. Just, you know, just be selfish, and he does that, and he wants the girl as his wife, and finds the woman as his wife, and so he arranges his whole life so that he can impress her. Because of selfish ends, too. And so, the day happens again, and he wakes up and says, and she are still on the way down. But then he gets it. Well, again, his life is not about me. Not about me impressing this girl, I just think it's not like a novel. In yourself, you know. Life is about being good to others, being generous, being kind. And all the movie doesn't state this is necessarily intended. God has had a purpose for Bill Murray in that having the life to say over and over again. And likewise, God has a purpose in placing this Holy Spirit upon us, upon His awareness. Why can't he do that? You don't have to do that. He could just dance and then when you die, bring us to heaven. But instead, he places his spirit upon us. Why has he done this? What end has he done? Well, here's what it is. God's objective, here's the point. God's objective in having his spirit in us is his glorification. God places his spirit in us as believers in Christ to show his glory to us and to the world. And that's his mind. That's his purpose. To glorify himself. To show off his glory. Now, what does this mean for us? What does this involve? A couple of chapters ago, Exodus 33 and 34, we had passages going on where Moses said, man, show me your glory. And God said, okay. So he laid out that God said, I will cause your glory to pass behind you. But then what the passage is given, Moses said, it's his kindness. The kindness of God. The reward for that is the great heart, the glory of God is his kindness to his people. God's glory is his kindness to us, his kindness is his glory. I read the book of Joshua Holden's man. Now, he's not believing for anything, and the preferring of the church is playing follows me on my time and stuff. This is crazy. My person, Holden, he became a sparrow. He became a big farmer in Fallout Heavy. It's at 8:30 on Tuesday nights from ABC when I was about in second grade and for second grade. And my father was saying, he just died for me, cool. Even though he said cool, I'm cool. It's just, and he was good and all that kind of thing, and despite all his movies and bombs, I just love the guy. One reason I love God is because he's kind. And I saw him on the original, so you've heard this story before. Well, they did it again in the index cards before the show, and they came out of the audience to ask him a question. And they sorted through these and went through these index cards asking him questions. And a lot of people in their cards asked him, can you do stuff that you've done a lot of dancing in your movies? Can you do some of these dances that you've done in your movies? And then when he said, sure. Now, I'm also a Stevie Wonder fan. And if you're a Stevie Wonder fan, you know that in the 1980s, he didn't want to do any comedy anymore. And he wanted to be considered a serious actor, and he'd go on the show and really talk about his acting, and he wanted to stand up. And so those of us who are fans were just dying. And we know this is at the rest stuff. But John Kimball says that the lie was on the album made early. He now went for a seat when he opened his arm and he did his fever. But he did the degree of treatment with the chicken rice and he did it with some stuff. He works for a longer team. And he's just so relaxed and pleased and good. And he's just like, and well, one of the things that comes to your notice is that he knows he has a privileged life that he has because people go and see his movies. And he never wants to forget that's why he's where he is. And, the Reader's Digest article just the other day about Josh Fulton, he talks about this. He went up to a Broadway star once and he was in trouble with it, and he just got blown off. And he's always remembered that when people come up to him, to treat him, to treat those people well. I would know this. It's the Josh Fulton's glory, so to speak, that he's crying. And it gets told about him. He's just glorified instead of present. Not saying he's a jerk or whatever. He's an obnoxious or he thinks he's better than everyone else. It's to his glory to be kind. It's the same for us. It's to our glory to be kind. I just read a report about us. We've been kind in the outside of the spotlight. It's to our glory, and it's to God's glory that he has been kind to us. Because of all people, of all entities in this universe, do not be kind to us. It should be God. Because God is completely holy. God has made us. God has sustained us. We have everything to do in him. And we have offended him more than we offended any other person. And so God should be more merciful toward us than any other person should be. But instead, God turns around and he shows us his kindness. And he glorifies himself by doing it. Your letter to God's gospel kindness of us. God's gospel kindness of us is his glory. Is to this Lord. That's why Paul speaks of it in Ephesians 1 and 2. And it is to God's glory that he is kind to us. Ephesians 2 about verse 7 there. For this is to God's glory before all the watching world and Satan and his demons that he be kind to us. His mercy is to us, is to God's glory. So God is showing his kindness to us in the gospel, forgiving our sins, being patient with us, and it's due his glory. But God's presence with us by his Spirit is also due his glory. We've got your A, your B here, and your outline. God's presence by his Spirit does a couple of things to glorify him. One, his presence by his Spirit is kind in and of itself. That's your blank, your A. It's kind in and of itself. Rob came to me this week in a story about Jenny. Jenny was this past week. She works at CVS and hired out from Baltimore, right? Came down and was at their bookstore, at their pharmacy, and took Jenny on it into another room and spent time with her. Get a feel for how the operations were and when someone hired out like that does that it's negative cognition and it's a thing of life as a Susan. Josh Walton's article talks about he works with an English and some girl with cancer who didn't look like she's gonna make it requested to see her and he says it's just not policy that freely to be. It's an act of kindness. But it's also an act of kindness because God loves His Spirit and gives us any benefits. I'm sure thanks for being right here. And that meant great things for God's people, that God would, by His presence, He would fight against their enemies, that He would provide a plan and make sure that the land was flowing with milk and honey, that they would have good crops. He would as well anoint their kings, that they would lead by His law. There were many benefits to God's people. We'll talk about some of these in general for us when they are. God, by His Spirit, does us many actions for us, does many things for us. And as you pass your outline here, the Spirit's passion is like, the Spirit's action is to His glory. That's why God's Spirit is with us, to bring Him glory. God's presence by His Spirit results in a heart of pure self-benefits. And we have ABND here. I have it there. Did you know that? I had to be included in it. God's presence by the Spirit results in our society and character of Christ. God is with us by His Spirit. That results in our displaying the character of Christ. This is what we call the fruit of the Spirit. That's the next one right there. Ephesians 5, 22 and 23. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. God works those things in us, by His Spirit, and He's present in us. And guess what? Those characteristics are not just random or arbitrary or just things God says, well, I'll make that one too. I'll get to that. Those things are the characteristics of Jesus Himself. And these things are the characteristics you're kind of displaying in the gospel. We're bringing to us for Jesus. God is good to us. God is faithful. God is patient with us. God exercises self-control in all this time out against Jesus and not against us. So God displays His glory in us by His Spirit, by developing in us the character of Christ, the fruit of His Spirit. How do we do this? Does this just happen? Spirit is in us and He makes us more loving, more patient, more kind. But God doesn't do it completely apart from God's law. Rather, He intends for us to look at His law. The commandments are some Catholic or some Mexican forever. It's loving God and loving neighbor. And if we love God and love neighbor, we display the character Christ, don't we? It's on the here for His glory, God's glory, for His family character of Christ in obeying God's law. God's law fundamentally, the Ten Commandments are revealing us His character. All the things God declares in His law, who they come? They come from Him. Not our materialistic do's and don'ts. But rather, God's law reveals His character. That's why we keep His law. It's such an important thing. Because when we know His law, we know Him. Because His law comes out and has its source in God. And so when we obey God's law, we display who God is to the world. God's law would have us be patient with one another. God's law would have us love one another. God's law would have us forgive each other's sins. God's law would have us treat each other as if God's image were upon each other, which it is. We have all to reveal to His character as a point for it. So as we lay out His law, God's character is seen in the world. God has to be glorified. How do we see that in this text? do not follow the Holy Spirit by some great prophets, today in the church you would speak something that is not something that we can back up by Scripture. Hebrews 1. I used to speak by prophets, but today he has spoken to us in these last days. He has spoken to us by his Son. And we have those words that are on the recording, and the words that he gave to his apostles who were guided by the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter 1, and recorded for us in the New Testament. We don't follow the Holy Spirit by following impressions that we have in our head. Again, we may have an impression to do something sinful. We don't have, in general, maybe to summarize this, we don't follow the Holy Spirit by speaking up our spiritual antennae. Direction and guidance. And so we have to do some work here in understanding this word, but it's promised us that the Spirit will guide and direct us as we focus this word. So that we walk according to His law. So the discussion is not a pillar of honor, but the Scripture is all of it. And the Scripture that's conspicuous in this term is when and how and where we walk. Testament is the pillow that is removed. Today, God's word says, do this, we do it. God's word says, forgive your brother, we forgive our brother. God's word says, move, we move. Go and be reconciled to your brother. We do it. If God's word says, refrain, we refrain. He says, do not steal. In adultery, we don't commit adultery. He's given us direction in His word. So, we've got to be part of the message of Christ's Spirit in us, but it's telling us to display a character of Christ by following God's law. But He also glorifies Himself by using us by His Spirit to bring others to saving faith in Christ. That's your B for Him. How else does God's Spirit, what else is His purpose for His Spirit being in us and bringing others to saving faith in Christ? Jesus in John 15 talked about Him being the vine and we being the branches. And He who abides in me will bear much fruit. And the ministry of the kingdom growing and expanding and more being added to the kingdom. Jesus was able to clear about this in Matthew 28 when He gave the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. So, maybe God's Spirit is not supposed to be coming in us, but we are bringing others to saving faith in Christ as His Spirit works in us as tabernacles of the Spirit. This is the fruit of gospel proclamation and superlative. This is the fruit of gospel proclamation. God's Spirit in us for the fruit of the Spirit to display the character of Christ so that He's glorified. God is also in us for the fruit of gospel proclamation that the kingdom might expand. And more of our individuals might come to know and understand and love Christ through us in whom God's Spirit is. Jesus said, nobody comes to me unless the Father draws him by His Spirit. The Spirit blows where it will. The kingdom of God comes to people. Now, see, repeat your outlines here. God will glorify Himself by having His Spirit in us, by lifting us to glory when Jesus returns or when we die. This is the fruit in your outlines here. This is the fruit of final harvest. Romans 8 says it is the work of the Spirit
being drawn by the Spirit, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of revelation to Jesus. God through you, God through us, the church, sending us His glory, sending us His kindness. And that kindness is with us by the Spirit. What might be seen by more and more, that he might receive more and more glory. But God is in mind by placing his Spirit in us, because he received glory. That we enjoy and bask in his kindness to us. He is present with us, but we don't deserve it. This is the lesson to refer back to question number one, isn't it? What is the chief end of man? Perhaps a little bit differently. What is the chief end of God's Spirit in dwelling in us, the church in dwelling in us as individuals? And the answer to that question, what is God's chief reason is done now? Is that we might glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. God's Spirit is at work in us that He might be glorified in us and that we might enjoy Him forever. Let us pray. God's words are inadequate to express how significant this is that you dwell with us. Our words have been inadequate to express how grave and deep and extensive is our sin and rebellion against you. And my words have been inadequate to express how great is your kindness toward us in the gospel. And this is why we need your Spirit. That we might have understanding greater and greater, that we might grow in our understanding of your grace toward us. That we might be able to comprehend with all the saints the length and breadth and depth and height of your love for us, that you accomplished for us in Christ Jesus, in the gospel that he lived and declared. Lord, call us with a great sense of purpose. All of us, as we think about the fact that you, by your Spirit, live in us, that you are living in us, that we might be sources of you receiving glory. So help us to display your character by obeying your word, which by your Spirit you give us power to do. Help us to bring glory to you by bearing evidence to saving faith as we are present among non-believers. And by being so present, your Spirit and opportunity to work and to blow, as you might cause non-believers to be born again by your Spirit. The Lord, we look forward to being the trophies of your grace and kindness and glory, that being raised by you, by your Spirit, when we die, when you return. We thank you for this fruit of the final harvest of the judgment time, by which we will be objects by which you display your goodness and kindness, your glory.